And as I was telling you, we're going to have the opportunity and pleasure this afternoon to visit with the candidate for state auditor, Abigail Moss.
Yes.
Let's learn a little bit about you, because the state auditor's race is one that sometimes doesn't get the attention of the headlines, Abigail. So I think most people, when we say this is an office that's currently held by gubernatorial candidate Rob Sand. He's the current auditor. So first off, tell me a little bit about yourself, where you're from, your background, a little bit about you.
First and foremost, I am a wife. My husband and I have been married for 13 years, and we're raising two kids, Derek and Cora, on our sixth-generation family farm. We live in Iowa County, so the Manna Colonies area.
Mm-hmm.
We farmed full-time. I should say I farmed full-time with my father-in-law and my husband until I took on a statewide campaign. Now they've had to find a few people to fill my boots back at home. And then I am a business owner. I own a flooring store and a horse boarding facility. And then I'm a county supervisor serving in my second term. I'm the vice chair. And then I'm also certified through our state organization to mentor other elected officials.
So you thought you'd just throw in a statewide campaign on top of all that?
I mean, why not?
Yeah.
Right? It just makes can't be that hard.
I guess. So you obviously, I was looking at your information, you board horses. You obviously have a pretty deep respect and admiration for farmers, without a doubt.
Absolutely. Yes. I have been in the tractor at 3 a.m. running the night shift. It's a lot of work. And, you know, even times like right now when you're not making a lot of money, you still do it because you love it.
Yeah. So why auditor? What was it about the auditor's position you thought, I can throw my hat in the ring here and I can make a difference? What was it?
Quite frankly, I've just been really frustrated with all of the latest cases. You open up your phone in the morning and you see another news story about a city clerk stealing money or funds being misappropriated at the state level. And so I've just been really frustrated with that. And as a person that's mentored a lot of county supervisors across our state, I'm learning that there's a lot of issues when it comes to auditing. Number one, we're not auditing every entity. And I don't know how we can have people levying property taxes without any oversight. And that's a huge problem in my book. So that's one thing that I want to change for sure. And the second thing I want to change is to increase the frequency of audits for the small towns. Right now, they get to go 8 years between their audits. And I just find it funny because I don't even know if you could imagine this, if we started doing our taxes personally every 8 years and sifting through 8 years of data and what did I do, that would be crazy.
Yeah.
So I think we've got to start running this thing more like a business and make everybody get audited and on a yearly basis.
So every entity, every year, you say?
Yes.
So
every tax dollar warrants an audit.
How do you do that? I mean, it's with the staff. I'm not even sure what the staff of the state auditor's office is, but is there staff available or would you have to make changes to get that done?
We have to make changes, but not necessarily through staff. There's 125 employees in there currently. The biggest thing that we're going to have to do is maximize and increase efficiency of these audits. So I have a few ideas on that. Number one, a statewide software system would be really helpful for all the schools, the cities, the counties, townships. Anybody that's levying property taxes needs to be on the same accounting software, because as I've worked through other people's budgets and other entities' budgets, I'm finding out that none of our financial software speaks the same language. And it makes it really hard to go into someone's accounts and figure out what's going on financially when they're not lining up. So I want to eliminate the variables when it comes to accounting. And then I also want the software to do some of the heavy lifting so we don't have so much employee man hours on these audits. We could have a simple system that's live, monitoring every single line item, just like basic business technology that we have today, and have a notification system that goes off when something's $5 short instead of finding it 2 to 8 years later or never if you're a township right now,
mm-hmm.
and it was $500,000 short. Really easy stuff there. And I think that's the best way that we can decrease the amount of hours for these audits, which will decrease the cost, but also allow us to take on more audits across the state. And I do have another, I don't want to say agenda, but another goal with that software system, and that's to increase transparency. Because once we start accounting every dollar through the same system, I can turn that thing online so the public can see every transaction that's going on in their local government. and they can know what who's spending their money wisely and who's not, and get involved in their local elections.
This is so you know they say sunlight is the best disinfectant. That certainly could have that impact. I mean, it just wow. That would be.
I would think it would naturally curb the appeal to waste or steal money. But if they don't, you guys know who to get after in those local elections.
Yeah. Very interesting. And this software is available. I mean, we have such powerful software in today's world. It seems like a great efficiency to me. And I'm sure that it's out there, maybe available as well. So very cool.
Yes. There are some out there. I think what I'm looking at needs to be a little bit different. But I have really good experts in my corner and have a whole team ready to go if I get elected to put the pen to paper and get this thing out for an RFP.
So I did a little bit of digging on you, Abigail, and I know that in an interview I heard you talking to, and I forget who it was with, and you said that you're not a CPA and not an attorney, but you don't necessarily have to have those criteria to run the office. I want you to explain that a little bit to me.
Yeah, so the way I view the state auditor's office is pretty similar to the other statewide electeds. We're the department head and we are the leader. We are not the ones that are in the trenches doing a lot of the work. And I mean that in like the governor's office. If you look at that, she's not sitting down and writing all of her legislation she wants passed. Her staff is doing that. And it's similarly for the state auditor's office. While I do plan to roll up my sleeves and sit down with the employees on a daily basis and try to work with them, I also recognize that that's not going to be my full-time job. My full-time job is to be a leader, and I have experience doing that. I oversee 130 employees currently, mm-hmm. and I have that experience, and that's what I want to bring to that office, be the department head, be the one making sure it's functioning correctly, and also really more so the liaison from the public back to the auditor's office and the employees to make sure that we're doing what the public wants and needs, but then also vice versa, a liaison from what's going on in the office, what are we seeing, and being that spokesperson for the public.
Is it true that the auditor's office works remotely?
It sure is. And that's one thing that I want to change.
I was kind of a little surprised by that, honestly.
Yeah. So during COVID, they worked more remotely. And I do, you know, DAS similarly did this recently. They took in their employees on a few days a week basis. You have to come into the office, but you can still work for the state and not have to live in Des Moines. I was looking actually recently through the salary book for the auditor's office, and a lot of them are living in Polk County, surrounding area. I'm pretty confident we can get everybody back into the office. I've actually spoke with some buildings and grounds people, and there's desks sitting empty in the Hoover building, enough to take on the employees. Don't have to build anything out. I think it's a fabulous idea because we all know how work from home works, mm-hmm. quote unquote. It just really doesn't. And I think that's part of the reason why we're lacking efficiency in the office. And I think it's also just really good for team building. So that way people get to know each other. The seasoned auditors can be with the new ones and train them up. And I just think it really helps us build a camaraderie and a vision together.
Are you going to be more concerned with your social media account or getting the job done, Abigail?
Getting the job done. That's one thing. This is something I'm really passionate about. I'm sure you can tell that.
Yeah.
And I'm really looking at this to make real change, meaningful change for Iowans, but I'm also wanting to do the job. I'm not seeking this to promote myself or to get a political title or clout. I really want to do this for the taxpayers. I actually have experience, too, in my own county finding fraud, and that's a great story, and I'd love to be able to do that for the state.
So, one of the things, I'm going to shift gears a little bit here on you, Abigail. So one of the things that you've touched on that I really like is shedding the light on what is going on with all of the municipalities, county, townships, counties, cities that you would audit. One of the things I really like is having that available for people to look at because it really, I'm kind of tight, Abigail. Honestly, I like small government. I like efficient government. I continue to say that. But it seems as though that there's never really any accountability into that. One of the things that kind of bugs me about the whole ESA or the vouchers, depending on which side of the aisle you're on, is that there seems to be no real accountability with that money to me. And that bothers me. I would like to have that accountability available to everyone across the government, across our state. And I really like that. I think if that's something that could be pulled off, that would be pretty remarkable.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't disagree with you there. I've been thinking about a good middle ground option because I understand both sides of that argument. But I also believe that every tax dollar warrants auditing, right?
Yes.
So that's kind of counterintuitive.
Yeah.
But what I was thinking was similarly to how the other entities like the public schools work, they can either hire the state auditor's office or a private firm mm-hmm. do an audit. They're required to do a yearly audit, but mm-hmm. you don't have to use a state auditor's office. I would venture to guess, or I'd like to think that all these private schools are already doing an audit, but that might be something that we make a mandatory thing. If you're receiving public money, you have to have an audit. It doesn't mean that you have to display, you know, every transaction, whatever, to the world, but you do have to make sure that the dollars that we're giving you are being spent appropriately.
That'd be a good step. I like that a lot. And we are visiting with
that's my middle ground, and I'm not... You know, not something I typically campaign on. That's one of those, you know, middle of the night thoughts that I have about how can we make this fair for both of them.
Abigail Moss with me. She is running for state auditor. And by the way, this is paid for this ad has been paid for by a political committee. So, okay. I want to talk about your opponent for a second. And I typically don't like to spend a lot of time on your opponent, but it's come to my attention. It's come to my attention. That we have something called Sharon Needles. What in the world are we talking about with Sharon Needles and the endorsement of Sharon Needles? You have to explain this to me.
Yes, and to be clear, I'm going to set the record straight. I didn't know who Sharon Needle was until this whole thing. I do not have a favorite drag queen because I don't go to drag shows. But so just for the record.
Uh-huh.
But... Lieutenant Governor Chris Kinnoyer was on the Iowa State School. She did like a video call with them, which was recorded and was put online and later sniffed up by some of these conservative media outlets. And in this video, there's a lot of concerning things, but she is asked who is her favorite drag queen. And it was really hard for her to decide. She had to ask her daughter, which I also found to be very bizarre. And they picked Sharon Needles. And you know, that's a pun on sharing needles, which that's not real great either.
No.
But then you also dive further and you Google Sharon Needles, and she's on the Church of Satan's website because she is endorsed by the Church of Satan. I guess she sings lots of satanic songs, and then she has even got pictures of her wearing Nazi swastikas in her show.
To be clear, that's what Sharon Needles has, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But...
There's just a lot of concern about judgment when, you know, and this is just going to be me talking my opinion. It's one thing if you want to go to a drag show on your time off. I don't really care. But it shows to me a lack of judgment when you get online and, like, brag about that and that you pick one. And when you pick one, that it's a satanic drag queen. After all we've been through with a satanic display at the Capitol,
mm-hmm.
and Iowans were upset. And that does not line up with Iowa values. I think having a satanic drag queen or a favorite one does not line up with Iowa values. And that's the one, you know, thing I do not want someone being statewide elected that doesn't share the same values as we do.
Well, I mean, at the very least, it shows extraordinarily poor judgment. I mean, but
yes.
Come on. I just, when I saw that, I'm wow, that was pretty remarkable. So, but again, I'm happy that I did learn that because it certainly is illuminating. And people will have the opportunity coming up June 2nd to make their voice heard on that.
Yes. And, you know, that's just one of the things. I think maybe that ties into the auditor's office. I don't know. Would she be more likely to overlook DEI practices that are still going on? I don't know, maybe. But what really ties into the auditor's office is, really, if you've watched anything online or saw my campaign and compared notes, I'm out all the time. And I put 70,000 miles on since July 1st of last year. And I have worked my tail off to get in front of people, which is why a county supervisor like me has such good name ID already. It's just because I work so hard versus my opponent who has really done nothing. And this is the last thing I want for the state auditor's office is somebody using this as a political title. And I think we're at risk here of that.
Yeah.
And the reason why I'm so afraid of that is because we will become the next Minnesota and have leering centers and all sorts of things. if you put somebody in there that's not going to care enough to do the job and make sure it's done right.
And just looking, I mean, and that's kind of what you pride yourself on. You're not afraid of a fight, not afraid to do what's right, whether it's popular or not. And that's kind of what you pride yourself on.
Yes. I like I said earlier, I have a story, if we have time, about finding fraud in my county.
Tell me about it. You betcha.
Okay. So I'll try to keep it short. I was put on the Board of Health because I went to pharmacy school, so it seemed right. But the public health department always gave me such resistance. They wouldn't answer questions. Well, it wasn't until I ended up resigning off that board, too. 4 out of 5 of us did because we thought it was a liability. And then eventually, after I kept pursuing them and they weren't answering my questions, I went to the state and asked for certain financial records. The next day, the public health director and the financial administrator both resigned. They scrubbed their computers on their way out with our tax dollars, and I'm pretty sure they hired a shredding company to come in.
Wow.
Because we had not been billing Medicare, Medicaid, or the VA for multiple years of home health services that were costing us roughly $500,000 a year to provide. Because we were avoiding a massive audit, and we had headlines all across the state once we started billing again about Iowa County leads the state in home health violations. And coming back to the original topic of just being a fighter and not being afraid, that's just, that process was wild. I had cease and desist letters tried to be served to me in my supervisor meetings because the public health director thought I was defaming her. And then the last remaining Board of Health member that was actually a family friend, man, she sent me the nastiest email and wanted her tax dollars to no longer be wasted on my salary. And I had to fight for a good 6 months to almost a year to get anything out of that. And I think that's what we need, somebody that's willing to fight. I think when you do anything big like this in life, you have to be fearless.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of person that we need in there. I don't care if there's going to be ramifications or if I'm going to have less friends. I'm going to fight for the taxpayers, and I don't care if it's from the governor's office and, you know, if that governor is Republican or Democrat. We're going to turn every stone over and make sure everything's being spent correctly.
Abigail Moss, you can find her online. How can they find you, Abigail? The best place to find information about you, your campaign, what you stand for, how can they do that?
My website is Moss for Iowa, that's MAAS, and then for Iowa, all spelled out, .com. From there, you can hit any of my social medias, but I'm also on Facebook and Instagram under Moss for Iowa. Those are probably some of the better ones to look at.
Okay. When you're not crossing the state, putting on 70,000 miles, running a county, running a business, two businesses, and taking care of your family, what do you do for fun in your free time, Abigail?
Well, honestly, typically it would be riding horses, but anytime now that I get time off, I'm pretty well ready for a nap,
yeah.
I'll be honest. But this weekend I did have a day off and I took time to ride the horses with the kids, and that was a lot of fun. I'm really sore for it, but it was a lot of fun.
Very good. It's a pleasure to visit with me. You will be in Pottawatomie County, but people, like you said, search out your website, your socials, and they can learn more about you. June 2nd is the primary.
I should mention, too, our event that's on Thursday, also in Pottawatomie County. Apparently, you guys are getting extra love this week. It is at Barley's from 5 to 7 p.m.
Come out and say hi.
Yes, come out, meet me. We're going to have some appetizers, and you can enjoy a drink and get to know me a little bit more and maybe hear more about my fun stories that I have from all across the state.
Very good. Nice to visit with you. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it greatly.
Thank you. I appreciate it.